Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through his son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
Amen. Welcome to the Tribe Abuja. Welcome to our second service in the month of February. Excited to see all of you. If you're wondering why we are in this particular building, there are some, did I say, renovations going on in the tent, and they could not finish it in time. But if you've been in Tribe for a while, you know this is where we started. I'm feeling a bit nostalgic, but I don't know if it's Stockholm syndrome, but I don't know. It's just, do you understand? It just has that vibe, that Tribe vibe. But I was trying to rhyme, but it didn't vibe. Anyway, let me not embarrass my wife. So welcome everyone. We are doing relationship goals today. So please, can you help me welcome Pastor Eva? Can you help me welcome? Amen. But for the past 2 weeks, we were just wondering and asking God what we want to share this week. Especially, I honestly wanted to just, you know, like, I beg, do you understand? Valentine's Day is demonic. It's pagan. Do you understand? You shall not. Do you understand? I know many of you have used that excuse, but. But honestly, it's something, it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be in love. It's a beautiful thing to share love. And knowing our population is about, 97% unmarried. Is it a lie? Are you married? Which one is wow? You're not married now. Which one is wow again? It's not shade. Are you married? You're not married. So, and because this is season of movement, hallelujah, I'm trusting that in the next 9 months, come on, that the Lord will, there would have been many, many. I know we have about 4 weddings in our calendar. I'm excited about that. Please, we need more. Do you understand? So, after service, we'll be, okay, so, welcome to Relationship Goals. We've created a link, right? And we want to honestly be as interactive as possible. So Ini is going to share the link. Ini, where are you? Why are you there? Please. So he's going to post the link on the group and on our social media. And you can ask questions anonymously. Some questions that have been in your head, but you've been too shy to ask, right? You have an opportunity to ask now. We can't promise to answer every question. We can't promise to answer every question, but we will try our best. Here's the reason why we're doing it. We believe that God, as your pastors, we really want that every facet of your life should be full, should be complete. Amen. I was telling the other day, I think one of our prayer sessions, and I said, I honestly don't want to be a great pastor and a terrible husband and father. I want every area of my life to bear fruit. Amen. And God has called us to enter into the fullness of that. Hallelujah. So concerning relationships, concerning marriages, God is more interested in your love life than you are. So for those of you asking God when, amen. God is going to respond soon. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that all that we speak will be of you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is the link up? So if you can just, where is it? Where did you post it? The WhatsApp? Can we tweet that, please? Social team or something, just so that, or on our Instagram story, so that you just go there and click on it and you can ask any question. If you ask stupid questions, you get stupid answers. So don't ask. Ask good questions. Okay, so we are very concerned about and interested in healthy relationships. Amen. What do healthy relationships look like? What do healthy marriages look like? So we're going to turn to our expert, Dr. Eva Dainso. What does a healthy relationship look like?
Praise God. Okay. I believe that when we talk about healthy relationships, we're not only talking about romantic relationships. I feel like God gives us opportunities every day to build healthy relationships. So from your class party day, when you were having birthday in primary school, only you wore party clothes, everybody wore uniform. How you related with your classmates is a building brick that adds into the totality of how you relate to people. How you treat the house help or the nanny, how you treat the security, how you treat the people who you consider less than you, all form building blocks that form the fundamentals of what you think a healthy relationship should look like. The Bible says that if we are friends with people who like us, how different are we from the sinners? Because they do the same thing. So a healthy relationship would look like how Christ related with everyone. Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ. You cannot be bigger than that, right? But he related to everybody based on the truth of God's word. So he did not become something else to the Pharisees and something else to the Gentiles. He was not something else to the Jews and something else to the Samaritan. His life, regardless of the external influence, was lived by the truth of God's word. So how I treat anybody in a relationship should not be a reflection of what the person is to me or what the person has done to me. It's a reflection of who I am in Christ and how that flows out to the next person. Have you ever wondered why Paul in the scripture says that if you are married to someone who is not a believer, and the person desires to stay in the marriage, that you should stay so that your righteousness can or may influence the other person? Because we flow from the inside out. It's the life that we have inside that gives life outside. So a healthy relationship will look like you doing the things that Christ expects you to do, regardless of the external influence. So it may not always favor you the way you want, but you are always right in the eyes of God, and that's all that matters.
Why did you say wow? No, well, yeah, wow. You know, and if you even bring it on physical level, if you go to the hospital, right, doctors make us probably do certain things that we are not necessarily happy to do, but it's so that we can get healthier, right? So I think that's what, you know, Eva is saying. Healthy relationships is not necessarily about what we want to do, right? For many of us, we may want to take soda every day of our lives, but if you want a healthy body, you know you have to regulate that, right? So, for instance, I've had to cut back from coffee. Yeah. If I stone you this month, But it's just, to be fair, like, it's just, I fell in the past 24 hours. But we go again. Do you understand? So I can be healthier. I don't know how long this will last, but the Lord does not give his... How did he talk on? The Lord does not give us more than we can bear, right? Anyway, so it's about being healthy. And I believe as well, you must be healthy as an individual if you want a healthy relationship. Does that make sense? So often we enter into relationships, especially because this is the season, romantic relationships. Every one of us enter with a kind of baggage. Even if you've not eaten breakfast or you've had, whether you've suffered or not, like, every one of us have a type of baggage that we enter into relationships with. Some with trauma that hasn't been healed. Some with expectations that your partner cannot meet, you know. And we often try to communicate these things or not communicate, but expect these things for people, or we find ourselves in relationships where someone will do something and it triggers a past experience, right? So you as an individual, if you want a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, you yourself, you have to be healthy. You have to work on being healthy your own self. Amen. Amen. Before we start answering the questions are coming in, and by God's grace, we'll do well to answer them. Eva, what do you think, let's say someone comes to meet you and she says she needs counsel, right? What would you say are the red flags someone should watch out for, just generally speaking?
Like romantic relationships?
Yes.
Ah, many.
Give us five.
I don't know if I'll give up to five. But they said women, did not ask me to tell men the things that we do.
Yeah,
that
I said women.
You should run from. So
I will
can
say it,
see
don't
us
worry.
Later.
I'm here.
okay, so for the ladies, the number one thing for me is, it is not a joke when they say you should marry someone that loves God. It's not a cliche. It's not a, I beg these people, they overdo. Because now, right, when the coast is clear and everything is rosy, right, you and Jack are doing like this. Or the ship, right? Everything looks great. However the person is okay. You know, you can accommodate it until the iceberg of life. And then you know what really is the foundation that we are holding on to. That's when the question of what do we really have comes to play. In this life, there will be many troubles. These are the words of Jesus. But if the person that you're with does not know Jesus, how do you want to face the many troubles of this life? There are days, who here have had days where it was difficult for you to pray, but you had somebody holding your hand praying for you that strengthened you? There are days in my life as I know that if Jesus is, I felt like Jesus was like, hey, this girl is going down. Hey, fire. You know, do you understand? There are days like that in life, and you need Jesus. That's number one, someone to hold you up in faith, right? Number two, somebody that does not listen to the Holy Spirit cannot listen to you. Hey, see, there are some conversations that I want to have with Jesse that I know that this is probably be a very hard conversation, a very difficult conversation. Do you know what I used to do? I used to go and pray. I say, God, guy used to listen to you. Do you get? So go ahead of me. Tell him, just prepare the ground. Do you understand? So that when I come, things will not scatter. You understand? Because I don't always have the right words. I don't always have the patience. I don't always have the right attitude. I don't always present the things in the right way. And sometimes when I do that prayer and I bring the situation, I even realize sometimes the Holy Spirit measures my speech. He measures my approach. And sometimes when I do my, you know, the me in me, you know, he will just take it where I know that it's the Lord, because it cannot be like that. So even if I don't say any other thing, find someone who hears God. That if he's going in the wrong direction, God can correct him. That you're not always suspicious, having trust issues, you are fretting, you are not, you see, temptations are temptations to you because you are vulnerable in that area. And it's the Holy Spirit that sees that for you and covers you. So if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, it will catch you. Don't even, you are a human being. It will catch you. But the Holy Spirit, he preserves us. He covers us. He's the one that aligns us. He reminds us of who we are, especially in our weakest points. So if after all I've said, I just like, no guys out there, anyone that I see, I wish you all the best. When you come for counseling, we'll pray with you. Do you understand? But hear it now, before, so that the counseling can be like, how many children do you want? Not all those other ones. Number two, marry somebody that desires to grow. These three. Marry somebody that desires to grow. Anybody that, I truly believe that anybody that stops growing starts dying. Because the characteristic of a living thing is growth. And if you are not growing, you are dying. And you don't want to be living with a living corpse. So, marry somebody that desires... Praise God. Number four, marry somebody that loves you and loves your family. There's something that used to bother me when I was in university. For some reason, people felt like I had too much attachment to my family than to other things. Maybe they wanted me to do something in church. I said my family comes first, and they're like, ah, every time, you want to go home, every time, can't you do? And I realized that my family, that's before I get married, is my first responsibility as ministry given to me by God. If I fail my family, I failed in the line of ministry. That's number one. Number two, no matter who I meet in this life, you are not as close to me as my family. They were there since the beginning. So if you marry someone that loves your family, it helps. Let me see if I can explain this properly. When Adam and Eve were made in the Garden of Eden, God had a growth pattern, a growth philosophy, right? Using families. The goal was for Adam and Eve to replicate what they've learned with God everywhere that they went, so that the entire earth would be filled with the presence of God, the way the presence of God was in the Garden of Eden. If you remove me from my family, a link in God's plan is broken. Do you understand? I think Africans, we started to get it right by saying when you marry the person and the person's family. But then some family, they have... Yes. So even when the scripture says that when... the two have become one flesh. You know, you live and cleave to your husband. Like, you create a unit. But it doesn't necessarily mean, like, you forget the unit that trained you, raised you, and brought you up. Do you understand? Marry somebody that loves your family. Marry somebody that when even you, your head is touching for your family, they can calm you down and say, remember, this is your family. Pray for them. Let's go and visit them. Okay, let's help this your brother that is not stable. See, you will not see the effects now. It's in eternity that some of the life that you give will reflect. words that we do, actions that we play, they are seeds in the life of people. It's not every seed that you plant that you will see the manifestation of the growth of that seed. But like Paul says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God will give the increase. God will give increase on a seed that was sown. Maybe you have a wayward brother in your family and your husband is always encouraging you to pray for that person. You are planting a seed that somebody somewhere else will not have to stress over that person because you have planted a seed. Imagine that the wife of your brother is thanking you for the part that you played in their life. You are making another person's marriage better because you decided to stand ground over your family. Don't marry anybody that will separate you from your friends, your family, because the enemy attacks lone wolves. Anyone that say your love for me, cut off where? Anyone that is cut off from the vine, you die gradually. So what happens then? You are doing relationship. They've cut you off from everybody. Then the person says, not doing again. What do you want to now do? Oh, sorry, because of time. Let's just leave it here. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So honestly, you know, we said we really want that everybody will enter into the fullness of all that God has called them to be, especially relationships, because we've seen where relationships, marriages have affected people's callings, their purposes on earth. So this is one area I believe we all ought to get right. Amen. So let's just see how we can just run through some of the questions. So far, there are about 16 questions. We'll answer the ones we can answer. Number one, Eva, how did you know that Jesse was the one? Very quickly.
This question. Okay. I'll try my best to answer this question, right? So I was never really a relationship person. As most of you know, Jesse is my first relationship. So I was chasing God. I was so steadfast, unmovable. Do you understand? And I really believe that if God not do it the way he did, I wouldn't have heard him. So we were friends. We met in 2011. And then we were friends. And then we lost touch in 2012. And then we became friends again in 2014. He moved to my town. You know, I did not know anybody. So anyway, we were friends, and everybody was pursuing the relationship except me. I was very clueless, no idea. So one day we had this thing that we used to do in the, we had this, he used to come around my office a lot, and I was like, ah, this guy's such a good guy.
I was working there. Which one is it?
Okay. He was working there. Sorry. He was working there. So we used to do this thing at the end of the year. We used to call it treat yourself. I think we got it from one of these shows, right? So we'd gather money, we'd buy anything we want, we'd eat and just lounge once a year. Eat till you know. Then tomorrow we'll face the troubles. So we had one of those things. And then he came and said, he wants to see me. And I was just like, okay.
He said, how do you know?
I'm getting there.
I'm getting there.
So he now called me. I wasn't like, geez. Now told me some things. So I was just like, I was genuinely like surprised.
That's not the question.
I'm getting to the question. So I said, thank you. And I left. Before you judge me. So after that day, I kept thinking. So there's something that the Holy Spirit used to do with me. If I meet anyone that was interested in me, the Holy Spirit will let me know if it will work or it will not work and why it will not work. So I will only know that it's fine that will kill me and use relationship or, you know, different things. But when he was concerned, there was no direct answer. There was no yes, there was no no. And that was like a strange place to be. So I started to pray and ask God, okay, God, what, how would I know that Jesse is the one? And the Holy Spirit never gave me a yes or no answer. All the Holy Spirit did was to show me areas in my life that would not allow me to accept anything that he brings my way. I started to deal with those areas. And I was like, that's not what I asked you. Answer me the question I asked you. But what happened was it freed me up to be able to make a godly decision on my own. So after I did that, I was able to say, okay, what are the godly requirements of a good man? A, B, C, and D. What are the reasons that will make me say yes to this guy or no to this guy? These are the reasons. The yes was more than the no. The answer was yes. I was not even, to be very honest, I was not in love with him when I said yes to him. Doubt came later in the relationship. Because I made a So I made a logical, biblical decision, right? So it was later that I was like, "Ah, Bobo, yeah, fine, no, he tried." Do you understand? But but basically, the reason why I'm saying this is because it's very, very crucial to pray, and the Holy Spirit knows what you need for an answer. So it's not always a strict yes or no answer. Sometimes there are things in your life that needs to clear for you to see what's right in front of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit did for me. Yes.
Whoever asked that question, please, can we not ask questions that bring triggers back? Thank you very much. Because I asked, it was 1 year later, I was told, yes, as well. But those 365 days, though. Okay, so how do you deal with a situation where your Christian husband continually seeks other women to be inappropriate with and tries to lie about it? What? No, that's a question that was asked. Okay, let me just answer. I think it should be confronted head on. Don't tolerate it. And if he doesn't listen to you, he should be able to listen to, there should be someone in your people's life that he listens to. You know, that's why we talk a lot about accountability. You know, we tell you guys, listen, we will never force ourselves into anybody's relationships. Besides, our generation is very, already everybody is skeptical about counseling and telling pastors about their relationship because in their mind, they tell pastor it will scatter the thing. But here's the thing, guys. God has placed some of these things, especially accountability. So if you don't want to be accountable to Jesse and Eva, if you're in this church, that's fine. We will never force ourselves. Unless we see that you're on the highway to hell, we'll do everything to pull you out, right? So make sure that you are accountable to someone. Tribe Abuja, I'm begging you, please. Because this thing, I've seen people enter relationships and they become something that, like they become another person because that the other partner has manipulated them into becoming something else. So let me say this. If the person that is speaking is here or online and this is something that's happening, if you should confront it head on. Don't even like confront it head on. If he doesn't listen to you, speak to your pastors. If he's not accountable to the pastors, speak to his parents. If he's not, like, let it be. Do you understand? But it should not be like gossip. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It is an issue that needs to be dealt with. Don't tolerate it in your home. Amen. All right. Yes, Eva, very quickly.
Okay, very quickly. I'll just piggyback on what he said. Sin thrives best in the dark. So if there's sin in your home and it's kept in the dark, it will foster and it will grow. Right? Bring it out to the light. That's why they say find a counselor or someone you trust that is over your home and then speak about it. And then next, pray. Pray. Do you understand? Pray. There's, I don't think there's anything that the Holy Spirit can fix, right? And the Holy Spirit can actually even use your faith to heal someone else. So pray, but bring every sin that is in the dark, in the light. I know we have this idea of covering our husbands, but sometimes it is misused. Like, I don't want to put my dirty linen in the public. That's true. However, any sin that remains in the dark will continue to grow.
Let me qualify this. We're not saying go and publish on social media, because that's a trend that you're inviting people that just want gist. Do you understand? You know how in Hausa they say, Ansamun Ido. Who understands what I'm saying? Like, did it chook eye for your matter? Do you understand? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, please don't solve your relationship issues with people that don't care about you. People just want gist. People just want to laugh. We've seen so many celebrities bring out their family. Like, you know, it worsens the situation because you're inviting numerous voices. Okay, so just wanted to qualify that. So someone is asking, how do you handle conflict properly in a relationship without breeding resentment? Very good. One of the things when we started dating, one of the things we agreed on was we will attend to the issue and not the person. And that takes a lot, it takes a training in your mind. Do you understand? Like, if I offend Eva, she's not coming to attack me. She's coming to, like, this is the issue that needs to be dealt with. Does that make sense? So even if I'm very maybe emotional or something, she is able to sieve out that and attend to the issue, and not that Jesse is just, you know, hot-headed or misbehaving or angry or something. Because emotions worsen things, do you understand? So relationships, Eve and the enemy, trust me, he will use the sin in your anger. Because to get angry is not a sin. But you sinning in your anger, maybe you've now turned it to calling person names, you know, you're insulting persons. Now, that's why your father left your mother. I'm like, I'd not wash plates now. Which one? Do you get? But it gets that far. So in your anger, do not sin. Are you with me? So don't let it get to resentment where you start seeing the person other than, start, like, attend to the issue. Attend to the immediately as well. Yeah. Okay. There are some great questions here. Communication is key, but it is not easy. How do you both handle difficult conversations, Eva?
The person that asked this question said it right. As you said it, that's how it is.
Like, communication is key.
It's key, but it's not always easy. And it's not, we like to do easy things, but most of the great things in life are not easy. So when you think about the consequence of not having that conversation, it gingers you to have the conversation. If you keep piling things in your heart, you're going to build a castle of nothing that will come crumbling down. It's just the same way somebody is raking at you for something, and in between the person's rant, you understand that the person has moved from the particular issue, is talking about something else and something else, and you're just seeing it grow. You're just like, at some point, you two are shouting, but you're just like, are we still talking about the same thing? So communication is important. I'm not in your head. You are not in my head. You don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what I'm, even if I know you, like I know Jesse for a long time, I cannot automatically just assume I know what he's thinking. So sometimes when we have conversations, one of the things that I do practically is I'll ask him, let me repeat to you what you've said to me so that I can be sure that I understood you correctly. So I will say, okay, is this what you are trying to say? A, B, C, or D? You say, okay, yes, this is right, or no, this is not right. If I understand you correctly, you are saying A, B, C, or D, and you're like, okay, yes, or no. Because sometimes when you two are communicating, you are not just communicating via your words, you're trying to communicate your emotions as well. And even though I understand your words void of the emotion, it feels like I do not understand you. Because you want me to carry the same weight that you are carrying over what you do. And sometimes it's just shame that probably what you feel is not as heavy as you feel it now that you said it out loud. Yes, so sometimes communication is not just the words. If the person is trying to communicate the tone, the weight, the emotion, try to listen for those as well. If somebody says, you did this thing and it hurt me, I say, that small thing. It's not small to the person that feels hurt. So understand that as well. And don't play it down. Like every small thing you are crying, time you watch Crazy Rich Asians, maybe they have trauma from the past. So understand that you are not only communicating words, you are communicating weight, you are communicating emphasis, you are communicating emotion as well. And then if you truly want to understand the other person, try your best to keep aside everything you feel about what's being said and understand what the person is saying to you.
Okay. Thank you, Eva. There are three questions here on divorce, and I'll just lump them together. One is, on what grounds is divorce permissible, and is it okay to marry a divorcee? Okay. It's something I struggled with growing up because I saw my dad go through a divorce. And I've shared this story numerous times, you know, with you guys. It was a particular tough one for my family and I because we later found out that the woman did not love us as we, you know, thought. And not just that, she was involved in some really diabolical things, you know, like jazz and stuff. And they separated. Unfortunately, the woman passed, and it really hurt us because we genuinely loved this woman. On what grounds do I, Jesse, and I want you to listen to this, Jesse Dan Yusuf, I'm not even speaking on behalf of Eva. Here's how I see it. I think if you read Matthew 19 as well, Jesus gave, lawyer, a clause, right? Caveat, right? And he said, Moses gave you guys divorces because of your hard-heartedness. But that's not God's intention. So I want us to all know, first and foremost, God's intention is not for us to separate in divorce. Once two people have become one, they are, you know, coming, it's a spiritual thing that you're becoming one in the eyes of God. Amen. So the ground, Moses now passed a law and gave different reasons for separation or divorce, right? Now, Matthew 19, Jesus mentioned that unless a partner is unfaithful, that's sexually unfaithful. So, the sexually unfaithful is, it depends on which translation is saying, but I think KJV also says unfaithful. Someone should help me confirm that. Matthew 19. Adultery. So, yes, okay. When it comes to abuse, emotional, physical abuse, honestly, and I'm saying it, this is not the doctrine of the tribe. This is not the doctrine of Eva. This is how I see it. I honestly will not advise that someone stays in a relationship, in a marriage, that you're almost losing your life. Are you with me? When it comes to remarrying a divorcee, honestly, I will ask questions first. So I'm not going to give a blanket answer whether yes or no. Do you understand? What were the circumstances? What? Because my father remarried. My father remarried. And, okay, sorry, for those of you who are confused, my mom passed when I was 5. My father remarried. We had 8 years with my first stepmother, divorced. That woman passed. Then my father remarried. And she was a widow as well. So I have 2 step-siblings and a half-sibling. Trust me, I had to learn that too, in case you're confused. But I just wanted to give that background. So my father remarried, right? And my stepmother is still alive. She's in Jos. For marrying a divorced person, I'm not going to give a blanket yes or no. I will rather give, you know, I will want to sit in front of you and ask questions. Do you understand? Because what if the person just, if Jesse just leaves Eva and goes, no, oh, sorry. If somebody leaves their wife, do you understand? And just go and marries another girl just because what? She's maybe younger or whatever. Some flimsy excuse. Right? And I'm not even, whoever asks that question, I'm not saying that's the reason. But I would rather want to sit in front of you and answer that question. Does that make sense, guys? Amen? Amen. Okay.
I want to add that while Jesse has answered that, I would really encourage you, if you are single, right, to take your singleness like seriously. Divorce has a very serious emotional and psychological impact on the people, on the children involved, on the family members, on the friends, on so many things. So getting it right is a community service. Sometimes we don't want to listen to godly counsel when it comes to marriage. We just want to feel the vibes and do what's on your mind. But you don't know that there are consequences to your action. Like, it doesn't matter if you wait 50 years to get it right. It does not matter. Like, you don't know what it feels like to be in a bad marriage. You don't want to know what it feels like. Even within your friends, you have friends where your relationship in the friendship is toxic. You don't want to see the person. You don't want to go home. You don't want to go to the office. You are traumatized. Your heart is beating. If the person calls you or your phone is ringing, this is friendship. In a marriage, you have nowhere to go. In your friendship, you can go home. In a marriage, so please, I'm saying this thing so passionately because the enemy understands the role that marriage plays in the plan of God and will do anything in your conscious or subconscious to ensure that you get it wrong. Do you know how crazy it is that sibling, like now to find people who are sibling, the same mother, you even ask, this is your sister, you ask, is this same mother, same father? Like, you even have to ask because that's how our family structure is now evolving, where this person has a child here, then this one is brother, then this. One day you will marry each other. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, seriously, it doesn't even matter if you are currently in a relationship right now. If you know that it's not right, you have time. Any time before I do is time enough.
Bars. All right. So, Eva, someone's asking you, I noticed that you are a year older than Jesse. Does that age difference show in your relationship? Does it matter marrying an older man?
Well, it didn't matter to me.
Finish. he is a Catholic. I'm a tribe, but he doesn't mind. I love him and he loves me. This is the issue we have. What do I do? Stay at the tribe. Short answer. Okay. I am teasing. Okay, just on the age thing, you know, people say age is just a number. It's true and it's not true. It's true if you make it, if that's what you want your reality to be, right? And for many people, it's also an issue. Do you understand? Like, honestly, the only time we remember that Eva is a year older than me. It's when we are celebrating our birthdays. It doesn't come up when it doesn't come up at all. So but wait first, Sha. Because I would like to know, I don't know if it's a guy that asked that or a girl. I would like to know. Maybe they don't use you for jazz, I think. Teasing, but honestly, if you're referring to something like this, Eva is just a year and what, 3 months or so older, it's honestly not an issue.
Age is not a biblical requirement. So, and that's the focus. I would
person
say
has to be an adult. let me say yes. That, please. Please.
True.
Adult.
But I would say this, if age matters to you, it matters to you.
Yeah.
Because you cannot form like it doesn't matter to you when it does. If it matters to you, it matters to you. And if it matters to you, it's going to always come up.
Yep.
So if it matters to you, then don't do it.
All right. So the Catholic and tribe. If that person, you know, there are Catholics that love Jesus. Do you understand? That love Jesus, that live for him. If that person listens to Jesus, right? Here's what I'll ask you guys to do if you're planning to walk down the aisle. You guys should pray about what to do next. Do you understand? I know the Catholic Church is very strong on membership, and usually they will want that the wife comes over or something, right? I will say you guys should really talk about it and pray about it. That's what I'll say. But whoever that person is, you can reach out to us during the week. Amen. Amen. Talk about things. So, do you understand? It's very, very important. Okay, when my boyfriend is in the midst of people and I call, he talks to no one. He talks so no one knows who he is talking to. Wait now. I only know 3 people that know him and it doesn't look good. Eva. Very quickly, just short answer. Say your mind.
Praise the Lord. Before we make any assumptions, ask the person why the person is doing that. Because, this relationship thing is not hard. It's the mercy of God that God allows us to see things before we marry. If you are seeing something, because we don't know from the guy, we don't know what is really going on, but you have the Spirit of God. If how you will know that the Spirit of God is hammering on something is on ease. So for instance, Jesse and I have such a peculiar relationship. Like, a lot of people talk to Jesse more than they talk to me. It doesn't bother me. Do you understand? But if there's somebody that is talking to him and my spirit is doing like this, I cannot say that I did not hear. After all, people talk to Jesse. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. If he's bothering you, he's trying to tell you something. Listen. Before you find out that he has another family abroad.
Siba, you see what Eva said about the mercy of God. Some of it, God is showing you a red flag. You're using it to choose Ashobi colors. See, guys. Do you know? Okay, honestly, I need you to, whoever that person is, you need to confront it. Do you understand? If he claims to love you and in a relationship, be in a relationship with you, then this is priority for you. Why are you, why is he hiding you like what? Who said that? Okay.
Sorry, guys. I just want to say that, see, there's a difference between privacy and secrecy.
Yes.
If you are a secret, you are not a secret. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are supposed to be seen. You are not a secret. If he wants to keep your relationship private, that's great. Please know the difference.
Nothing else to add. But please, this week should not pass. I'm serious. This week, like for your own mental, spiritual health and emotional health. Okay, I saw a post on my boyfriend's page where he called a lady a name he usually calls me. The same lady on three different posts. When I questioned him, he got upset with me over it. So, honestly, the first thing that came to my mind is, you are sharing. See, we are called to exclusivity. Do you understand? This is not community relationship. Do you understand? Your boyfriend, your girlfriend should not be a community boyfriend or girlfriend. If you are in a relationship, I believe like you should be exclusive. So why should he call you a name, or why should she call you a name and call three other people? Is it three other people or okay, one person on the same post? What okay, is it on his own post? Interesting.
Sorry, did he post you and call you the same name in the same social
she's
media?
She's not going to answer now.
Okay. See, let me just say something here. Please figure out what's important and what's not important. Do you understand? I'm speaking to the ladies now. If a guy, right, is a guy that is led by the Spirit of God will do the right thing. And when he does the right things, he will repent and be remorseful about it and will listen to counsel.
Amen. Okay, I want to see how we can run through some questions. When I ask my... Is it okay for a lady to slide into a DM of a guy she admires? Here's what I'll say. Rather than, I don't know. Well, it has worked for some people. Do you understand? But me, I'll advise the girls at the tribe, right, to do the art of subtle strategic positioning. Do you understand? That's what I'll say. So I'll leave it at that. When I ask for time to talk to my boyfriend, he acts like I'm begging for his attention and he has more important things to do. What do I do? That's your answer. Peace, right? Very.
Sorry, if in relationship you are not priority, when?
Girls, I don't want you to lower your standards. Do you understand? Don't lower your standards. If affection, if attention is something that you need, if that's your love language, communicate it. Do you understand? And there are things I had to learn how to love Eva. Do you understand? And she had to learn to love me in a way too that I communicated to her. So, guys, don't lower your standards. The same thing. My boyfriend says he can't talk because he's busy. Don't lower your standards. is there such a thing as the will of God for you? Better still, is it just one person that is the will of God for your life? So the short answer is, there is no such thing as a soulmate, right? You become a soulmate. Do you understand? Because the mathematics of that soulmate thing, it will not add up. So imagine if a partner dies, right? So his soulmate has died. If he remarries, he's taking someone else's soulmate. So, but to answer the A part of the question, if there's a will of God, yes. God's will is that you marry from his tribe, permit me to put that way. I think it was the daughters of, in the Old Testament, so a group of women from a particular clan, they came and they mentioned, was it to Joshua or Moses? Joshua. So something, and Joshua told them basically that they should marry from their tribe. Do you understand? So we have to extend that definition now. Marry from within the body. Do you understand? Eva's dad used to always say that any two Christians can get married. Technically, because we are all spirit beings first, and we are regenerated, we are born again, we are regenerated. So everybody, every Christian, technically, is conforming themselves into the image of Christ, right? So you can marry a Christian in Pakistan. You can marry a Christian in Uzbekistan. A Christian in Kyrgyzstan. I don't know why I'm staying there. But, we've now added layers of ideology and tradition and culture and all these things. And not to even put them down. Not to put any of these things down, right? But I want you to always boil down to, as a Christian, because I know even, you know, there are people from the same language that cannot marry, like, you're the same language, but you cannot marry from the next village because of some ancestral beef that you have no business with. So every child of God, you must understand that every child of God technically can marry whoever they want to marry. Do you want to say something very quickly?
Okay, very quickly, I'll say that you can marry the will of God, but the will of God is not always a person. So, any other thing outside, the will of God is a set of life characteristics, like a set of godly principles and spiritual dictates that any Christian can have. If you know what those things are and you find them in a person, then you understand that that's the will of God. So it can be any person as long as they abide. Because the problem with attaching the will of God to a person is that human beings are frail. So if the will of God is a person and that person fails, you believe that God has failed you. But if you just stick to the principles and the rules of God, any other thing outside of that is personal preference. And then personal preference, if it's important to you, like I said earlier, is important to you.
So we're just going to do maybe 10 more minutes. Then I want to ask creative team, there are some really important questions. Let's see how we can maybe record and answer these questions this week. I'm just setting you guys up. Okay. Eva, is there a particular way to pray and discern if your boyfriend or girlfriend is right for you? Because someone could be good, but not good for you. Very quickly.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Somebody can be good, not good for you. For me, I had three non-negotiables. That's what I call them. Non-negotiables. Number one, person must be a Christian, the real type, willing to grow and have a personal relationship with God. Not a relationship where me am orchestrating your relationship with God. No. That was number one. Number two, this is a personal preference. Number two, I told God I cannot marry someone that I cannot have intelligent conversations with. I'm going to be frustrated. So as you are preparing him, have this in mind, oh Lord. That's number two. Number three, I said, God, I cannot marry anybody that will not allow me become everything you know that I should be. Before God created me, God saw my end. God saw that marriage was in the plan, and God still gave me visions. He still gave me ministries. He still gave me assignments. God was aware that whoever he has planned for me will accommodate the gifts of God in my life. So anybody who cannot accommodate the gifts of God in my life, it's not the will of God for me. Amen. So those were my three.
Okay. And speaking as someone that, you know, saw my father go through what he went through, I honestly was done with the industry of marriage. And honestly, before God really dealt with me, I told myself I was just going to get someone knocked up and just have, like, if I want to, like, I was ready. Like, I did not want to, like, why would I commit myself and end up hurt? Do you understand? It did not make sense to me. So I had to heal, which even leads me to the next question, which is someone is asking, what is your advice for someone that is scared and doesn't even know how to put themselves out there again for a relationship, right? So here's what, and is answering that question and this one, like, you need to heal. Do you understand? You need to heal. Athletes don't just go back into playing the sport, because if they go back, they will get injured and probably even worse. So that healing period is you realigning yourself back to God. Do you understand? And you're asking him what I'm supposed to do with my life, right? He's reaffirming you. He's speaking over you, prophecies, promises, and you're building your identity in Christ. Are you with me, tribe? So in that space, you are growing and you are healing before you get back into that. So you're hesitating to go back because you know you've not dealt with something. So I will advise you to spend time dealing with that thing. And you need to be particular about that thing. A cancer patient, a doctor will not come and tell him that you're dealing with malaria because of his feelings. I don't know if you get. Like, diagnose you, like, what you're going through. Or speak to someone that you know will tell you the truth. Eva does not. You can, anybody that has spoken to Eva, she will tell you as it is, as you can see. Do you understand? So, our advice, you probably should speak to Eva, and because she's not just a pastor, she's a psychologist as well. So, I'll say that concerning you. Please heal before you go. Do you understand? Hurt people, and heal people, I guess. So, but you get. Amen. Concerning knowing the will of God, right? When my own healing process started as well, this is what the Lord told me, and I've shared it. I'm not saying you should run with it. This is what God told me. Focus on the harvest, and I'll send you the helper. And for every time I will start or seemingly start a relationship or start getting close to someone, I'll just start hearing the Holy Spirit say these words: where are you? And I'm supposed to answer, am I in the field? So it was until I became active in ministry, do you understand? And I was what? Focusing on the harvest. Then I turned to my, do you understand? The other side, and I saw a route that was strategically positioned. She wouldn't say that part too.
Okay.
That's.
So I want to, I relate with the last question. One of the things that the Holy Spirit was showing me in my time of prayer was perfection fear. So in my entire family, everybody has married right. My parents' marriage is exemplary. My sisters, they all married right. My parents are marriage counselors. So I did not know that I had a fear that, having known everything that I've known, I cannot get it wrong. And that was a fear that I was holding on to, not allowing me to go get married. And so when the Lord walked me through the process, anyway, by the way, when I say yes, Jesse, I sent in an email. So before you join. But I just want to.
So,
So I just want to share something that I wrote there. Hey, sorry now, don't judge me, please. So I wrote something in it. I told him that I'm not giving him my heart. I've given my heart to God, and God has thought it worthy to give him the responsibility to guard it and keep it. And then he should do well with the responsibility. But God has my heart. And that's the advice I'll give to you. You cannot always run from hurt or the fact that hurt may come. You cannot protect yourself enough that life will not meet you where you are. But if you are in God, right, anything that comes, you will be able to face it properly. The reason why I said what I said to Jesse was because I had that fear of getting it wrong. And so if you give your heart to God, if you give your heart to God to keep, God knows his sons. God knows who he can give that responsibility, because God knows you too. Do you understand what I'm saying? So allow your trust to be in God, not the person. Because if your trust is on a person, they may not be able to bear the weight of your expectation. And it may crash. And not because the person couldn't be the person for you. It's just because they were not equipped to carry the expectation you were placing that was God's in the first place. So give your heart to God. And then God will teach your partner how to steward that gift.
Amen. So we're going to stop here, but I assure you, we'll work with the creative team to see how we can probably do an online service or something. We'll try to attend to as many questions as possible. But the last question I want to answer. So someone is saying, Corel, can't they play keyboard? I want to get married before April 2022. But I currently don't have a partner. Please help! Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. How can I go about it? So let me use this opportunity to say, right, as your pastor, like I said, I'm honestly praying for more marriages this year. But if you want to get married and you want Eva and I to oversee, officiate your wedding, we need at least 3 months for counseling and, you know, the date. So April 2022 is not a feasible date for us. Our calendar is full, right? No, so it's our calendar is full. Do you understand? Pardon? Do you know what can happen even now? So, do you understand? So, that's what I want to say. So, I want to give you hope. Honestly, it's not impossible. Do you understand? To find a partner. Wait, who is that? What is happening? It is not impossible. However, I will not advise you to meet somebody from today and get married by April. So, as your pastor, I will honestly not advise. We will pray with you, but listen, guys, we take our calling as pastors very seriously, because we don't answer to you, we answer to God. So I want us, do you understand? Like, please, April, it's not impossible. Hey, you can go to, what's it called? Registry. Would they agree from now, February? No. 21 working days. Okay. Anyway, you can go to, but we'll come for a reception. Do you understand? We eat, we'll pray. But honestly, I'm not sure I will want to be part of something that's, do you understand? I don't think it's healthy. Omo, he could be Simon Levi, do you understand? Like,
Praise God. See.
Oh, Peter is hurt.
I know. I know we are all laughing. But it's not a joke. Marriage is serious business. You will not stand up and say, I want to start a business by April and get partners and just start a business. You won't do that. You will not say, oh, I want to buy a house, and you just pack all your money and buy. You don't search, you don't research, you don't do feasibility studies, you don't do due diligence, you don't do that. You will not do that. Why is it that you think you can do that with something that is precious to God and affects humanity and affects generations and affects children's lives, people's lives, and you take it with levity? You don't do that as a believer. You don't do that. You don't enter the field and say, let me survey, let me see. You don't break people's hearts and leave them broken. You don't do that. People labor in the field, fixing the hurt some of you are creating for other people. And then you laugh. And because it's Valentine's Day, you want to what? Buy yourself chocolates. Do you know? Because it's really painful, because you don't understand the gravity of what you're doing. I'm enjoying my marriage today because my mother did the right thing. And don't let your child be confused about marriage because you couldn't wait, or because you were not patient, or you could not hear God, or you could not do diligence. Some of you have boyfriends, you don't even know their background. You don't know the family they come from. You are striving for a marriage where you know that the parents will not give you their blessing. Why? Please understand that this is serious business. People's lives are at stake. The nation is suffering because homes are failing. And you want to join the statistics because what your body is doing you how? Please listen to me. If you want to do that because you want to buy a shoe, do that. If you want to take a decision because you want to change your wardrobe, do that. Please don't do that with somebody's life. Don't do that. If you are truly a Christian and you follow Jesus Christ, do the right thing. Most of these questions that have come, although very legitimate questions, I think that if our heart is in the right place, we will not have these questions. How many of you here know what a godly man should look like? How many of you know what a godly woman should look like according to the scriptures? How many of you know what a godly home should look like according to the scripture? If I ask you, forget social media, forget all you know, forget what you've learned, show me scriptures of what it means to have a godly home. How many of you can do that? If you cannot do that, then tell me how you're going to hear God and His will. How do you know the difference between what God is saying to you and what the enemy is putting in your head? How do you know the standards, the godly standards and the standards of the world? Let me tell you something. Godliness, morality is not always godliness. Don't laugh. Don't joke. As in that person asked that question, please don't do that. If you want to marry yourself, that's fine. But not when it comes to a life. We've learned this period is a nation. You don't take the destiny of a nation and trifle with it. You don't do that. You don't do that. We are praying for Nigeria today because a lot of people made mistakes that we are fixing. If the leaders that did us, if they were trained right from home, please don't add to that. My daughter was going to be in the generation with your children. Please don't affect her.
Amen. Can we rise? I want you to just pray over yourself. You know, we tried to keep some of these things light, but just as Eva said, and I even liked how she just ended it. You know, this thing is more than you. Lives. For those of you like me that have experienced, you know, separation, divorce, you know how your life was affected. I want you to just pray over yourself. And just pray for yourself that you make the right decision. You make the right choice. That you walk in the fullness of all that God has called you to be. For those of you who are healing from a heartbreak, just ask that God will heal you. Ask for healing. For those of you in relationships right now, please don't waste your time, don't waste your emotion. This is a season of consecration. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everybody at the tribe. I pray that we hear your voice and we hear it clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Can you just lift your hands? Just lift your hand. And everybody just say, I am healed of the Lord. I am secured in my identity in Christ. I am whole in Christ. I am full in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.